You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to MUA Fire Up Show. My name's David Ball. I'm from the Victorian branch of the Maritime Union of Australia. I'm here with my favourite co-host and youngest member of the MUA Brigade, Aaron Moon. How are you going, Aaron?
I'm going well, thanks, Dave. I'm not sure I'm the youngest still, but thanks anyways, mate.
Well, thanks to the flexible nature of the MUA policy, we continue to raise the age of the youth. So once upon a time, you had to be under 30, then it was under 35. Do you think we need to raise it to 40?
No, we definitely don't. I think we can keep it at 35 and that'll work well.
Annie here. Big week this week for you guys.
Yeah, it's always a big week in MUA land, and amongst other topics, we've had the COVID testing controversy. I don't know whether our members are aware, especially our Wharfie brothers and sisters, that testing is taking place on the waterfront. If a member goes onto a vessel, an international vessel, within 7 days of being on that vessel, they're expected to get COVID tested. In the Port of Geelong and in just down near Appleton Dock, there's COVID stations set up, so it's been made very convenient for our members. But there is a bit of controversy around it because, of course, when you go to the pub and you get drunk and you leave the pub, you get tested for drink driving. The police don't come back to the pub and test the barman to see if he's drink driving. And with the vessels and the ships, we're wondering why the international crew are not getting tested. That's the source of the COVID. That's where they believe that it could be spreading from. And when you think about it, one of our members actually, they could, a stevedore could quite easily go onto three different foreign vessels in a 7 day period. On the seventh day, they get their COVID tested. So they've been going home every night into the community, home to their family every night over that 7 day period. And on the seventh day, they get tested for COVID. It doesn't make any sense at all. We're not really sure what's going on. We have tried to team up with the big stevedores and the smaller stevedores to get them to join our campaign, against the Victorian government or against the Department of Human and Health Services to encourage them to test the foreign seafarers. But so far, we're not having much luck.
No, we haven't been having much luck at the moment. So I think the companies are largely on board with their position. They're just a bit hesitant to campaign alongside us. So I do believe that some of the major stevedores at least have put a position forward to the government that the international crew should be tested. So like you said, why are we testing the barman when we want to stop a drink driver?
The other thing about it is it really proves the importance of a union because you've got to see it from the eyes of the worker and fight from their corner because if you don't fight from your corner, it's like a kid at school. It's one of the important things about it being a parent. You've got to fight for your kid. If you don't, all is lost.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the other part of the discussion revolves around the vaccination rollout. And to my knowledge, well, I think they're rolling it out in the West. I haven't seen much of it in Victoria, but I do know some shipping agents have had the vaccination. So it seems like the boss is getting it rolled out to them first. I don't know how accurate that information is, but I do know none of our members.
What do you mean the tiger hasn't changed its stripes, or the leopard hasn't changed its spots?
Hasn't changed spots. No.
Yeah.
What a shock.
Kelsey Tree.
I do believe that we are categorised as like 1A or 1B or something like that for vaccine rollout. I know that, Dave, you're right. It is happening in the West. It's also happening in New South Wales. It's not putting us in front of any vulnerable people, but we're in the tier below that is people that are more likely to face exposure, I think. So,
Like retail workers.
Oh, I believe retail workers will get it, won't they? Or frontline workers?
Let's hope so.
Retail workers and...
Working in nursing homes and stuff like that, cleaners.
Yeah.
The people who are holding the society together.
Yeah.
I have heard of some elderly people getting vaccinated, which is great. Yeah. Obviously, they're vulnerable. So that's really good. I guess the other part of that discussion, I don't know how big a problem this is, but at the moment, they're only identifying stevedores that actually go on the vessels as that frontline group. And if you happen to be someone that works in the port but doesn't go on the vessel, you're not going to get vaccinated, which is really strange because they use the same facilities, the same smoko room, the same bathrooms. It doesn't seem to make much sense. I think, you know, for me, this COVID thing has really identified Australian bureaucracy as a clunking machine that just fails to deal with individual situations, and it just doesn't make sense in a lot of the circumstances. It's crazy.
A lot of paperwork, not enough reality.
Yeah, maybe.
Clear thinking. You know, the thing about going to school is you're supposed to be learning about clear thinking, not just getting a job. I mean, that's what education's about.
But it does appear that we are emerging slowly out the other side of COVID. Masks have been what they still need to wear them in supermarkets.
On the trains and trams.
Public transport. The QR code is... It's quite funny. I was in New South Wales recently, and you literally cannot walk into an establishment in New South Wales without a security guard or someone from that establishment checking that you have checked into the QR with the QR. Here in Melbourne, they're quite slack. You can go and sit down at the table. I say, please check in. Some people do, some people don't. It's funny.
It is pretty funny.
I don't know. I do. I check in.
Yeah, I do every time as well.
Might as well look after your own health. Yeah. Make a decision for yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Although we should briefly touch on some of the conspiracy theories, and, you know, the QR code check-ins is one of them. You know, people have been reluctant to identify where you are all day long and what you're doing. All of a sudden we've done it in a voluntary, out of necessity. We've done it because of COVID.
I'm assuming all those people don't have mobile phones.
Yeah, I guess so, because they track everywhere you go anyway. Yeah. So that's another way we've done that. Someone suggested to me the other day too, it's brought on the cashless society because cash is much hardly being used anymore. I don't know whether or...
That's a bit of a pain in the ass, I'll have to say. Money does have its uses.
It certainly does. It certainly does. So anyway, it's good to be emerging out the other side. And I was at an event on last Friday night. It was the Geelong Trades and Labor Council Labor Day dinner. And it was actually just about 1 year to the day, I think, when Victoria closed down or the country closed down. It's been about 12 months. I think it was March last year when it all sort of happened. People were quite excited to be out and chatting again, and it was fantastic. And it was a really exciting event, and the Geelong Women's Unionist Network awarded a couple of women with union awards, and their speeches were really riveting. And I guess that was followed up with the fantastic rallies that were around Australia over the last couple of days. And did you get to any of those, Ernie?
Well, actually, I intended to go. It's just that I've had a bit of a flu. Yes, I did go and get a COVID test. No, I don't have COVID, but I thought I should do that before I go and see a doctor. So it's just making me a bit dizzy. So I couldn't go. But I did, of course, follow it. It's all fairly important and impressive stuff. I've been, of course, thinking about this a lot, about what's going on. And for a start, the most obvious thing, which is that it's a workplace issue, this business about people being mozzed at their own workplace, and the business about a person getting raped in a minister's office, allegedly. And of course, it can happen anywhere. That's what it's really saying. And also the ripple effects of the responses to that person's allegations, and also the things that have happened to her emotionally as well as in her work life as a result of it, are all just sort of copybook, aren't they? And very high profile. But of course, the union movement's done surveys into people's the effect of sexual harassment and in the workplace, and it's shown that, you know, quite a high percentage of people, women, have been affected by this, as well as people have changed their jobs because of it. I mean, I know people who this has happened to, because what happens, of course, is that what happens is you go completely silent. You try and, you know, fit in to society because you're being focused on by somebody who has got more power than you within a particular workplace, or you're a young, vulnerable person. Well, young because what you're being defined as a vulnerable person because you're young, female, and all the rest of it. Now, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like the majority of these people who are, you know, the majority of people who are being targeted, of course, are young because they're most beautiful. You know, they're lovely, they're beautiful people. But it's not just women. I'm sure that there is a small percentage of boys that this is happening to too. And I'm sure they're being profoundly silent because they also feel completely unprotected, right? Because it's not normal behaviour in society. But in actual fact, the prevalence of it means that it is quite normal, right?
Very
disturbing. Yeah, yeah. And so what I've been thinking about is, because I've been thinking about it a lot, like there were statements like, you know, it starts from the top. Actually, I think it starts from the bottom. I was talking to my daughter about it, and she was saying quite sensibly, actually, it starts with children's education. It starts at the knee, you know, because there's this tacit belief, this, you know, quiet secret language that we'll pander to women in public, but in behind the scenes, we know that we're the, you know, we're the power brokers, you know, that's the real world, right? And I know that lots of men aren't like that, but lots of men are, you know, like it's that private, secret, nobody's watching kind of type, right? And even down to the way our society operates, where it goes, it's taken a long time to say that being drunk isn't an excuse for bad behaviour, for example, or even that fight about a married man can't rape his wife. Like these are all late, legal things, and you sort of think to yourself, how weird's that? But of course that was generations, hundreds of thousands of years it's taken for that to be considered inappropriate, you know, that people have rights, women have rights, they're people. But then I was thinking, you know, in the women were considered to be chattels, owned, and men can't women can't own men, but men have owned women in our society, like as physical objects, and men are owned by the state. I mean, these are just some of the things I've been thinking about. And men have been made the policemen of their families, right? Like, so it's very confusing for men as well. Then there's these discussions about women shouldn't make themselves available to being mozzed, as opposed to men need to change their behaviour. So it's a complicated thing, but it does seem to me that why are women not considered to be human beings? Why are they not considered to be what is going on in the emotional and imaginative life of male society that believes that it's okay. And getting on to Parliament, I think we've got, like, we've got a Prime Minister who is part of a fundamentalist Christian sect. They build their power structure on subjugating men and women, women and children.
Yeah.
So what, it's like this thing with the Queen and their family, they're racist. Oh, Calcipri, they've run a whole empire on racism.
And we're suddenly shocked and surprised.
So it's the same with, I can't grapple with the idea that you've got an attorney general who's been accused of something and isn't been standing aside.
Yeah.
So you've got the Prime Minister saying he's innocent, but actually you can't prove that he's innocent, just like perhaps you can't prove that he's guilty. So, in fact, the point is you can't have the head of your legal system in the country with this accusation.
No, that's right. Yeah.
It's a fool thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It disgusts me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think anyone who attended any of the rallies around the country will quickly identify that if they keep him in their team, I don't think they'll be leading the country after the next election
I don't know if this is true because the polls are a bit, you know, and all our mainstream media is, you know, held by the neck of conservative power brokers. But apparently Morrison's approval rating went from 62 to 60. Who can approve of that man?
I don't know.
Insanity and absolutely beyond me. Like, I mean, this is a leader who stands up and says, what was it that he said? He said people should be happy they're not getting shot, or women should be happy that they're not getting shot.
Yeah, yeah.
My response.
Because we're a liberal democracy. You're allowed to stand in the street and say you're a bunch of patriarchal creeps.
Yeah. So it is a extraordinary time. You think we may have moved a bit forward, but we don't seem to be. We seem to be spinning our wheels in history around this topic.
But Dave, the fact that you guys find it very perplexing is really important because I've had some reactions from working class men have been, oh, we can't even say anything. We can't do anything. You know, women are oversensitive. Do you know what I mean? So I think people need to get a grip on the idea that women are people.
Yeah.
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 Right.
I can't believe people are saying these women are oversensitive. I'm pretty sure you guys just don't want to be raped when you're walking down the street, right? Pretty fucking simple in my eyes.
I don't think it's, oh, is my bum fat in this? Does my bum look fat in this?
But it is that it is a an inherent problem in society. Right from the time a child is born, people treat a female baby different to the way they treat a male baby. When a little boy's running around making a mess and they go, oh, he's just a boy, and immediately they identify that behavior with his sex. And, it's not a great...
I'll tell you something else, though. It's that thing about girls are supposed to try and be more boy-like rather than boys being more girl-like. And that's interesting, too, because I've observed that when people talk to girl children, they actually have conversations with them. Sure. Like they actually talk through an issue. But with a lot of boy children, they don't use their voices and don't have conversations with them.
Yeah.
I think that boys miss out.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the idea is it's women that miss out. Actually, perhaps boys need, like, so Tim Winton said in this really interesting article, he said, boys, life isn't a game. It's not a race. It's a dance.
So obviously it's a really complex subject. We probably won't solve it here today, but I have to say, just from the rally in Geelong on 2 days ago started at 5:30 p.m. and I think there was around 4,000 to 5,000 people there, mainly women. But I don't think there's been a rally in Geelong that big since 2007.
Yeah.
And there was very short notice. I've never heard a better, vocal crowd. They were cheering and clapping and banging, and the speeches were amazing. And it was really extraordinary. And I just wonder, over the years, feminism has evolved and changed. And I just wonder what the role of men is in sort of helping to fix this problem, because sometimes it's difficult to work out where we sit and what we need to do to help fix the problem. But I think, it's a problem that the society as a whole has to work on. And I think we need to work together a bit better than maybe we're currently doing.
I think so. I also think that we need to listen and talk and show respect. I really think that when you think about it, like, there are people who are shy or who have been abused. The very idea that you think what they're saying is important is great, you know? Also, you have to examine your own behaviour. I think, yes, it's society-wide, but it's really important for an individual to actually examine themselves. What do they do? A lot is at stake for a patriarchy to hold control, right? And obviously, very powerful rich people, power brokers, are hoping that the division between men and women will continue, because then it deflects people's attention from where power really lies, right?
That comes with the cookies, right? And the power broker in the centre's got the big pile, and there's one sitting over there, and he says to the man, "Look, she's trying to steal your cookie," and we start fighting amongst ourselves, and rather than at the true enemy, which is obviously the bosses.
And also, kindness can't be underscored, actually listening to what someone else is thinking and doing. And if you find something confronting, that's an opportunity for you to sort of think, why does that upset me? Why does that make me feel lesser? Or and what you'll find is it's some sort of societal cue that says, that's my right. Or, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like this business about, I know it sounds like a funny thing. I've been thinking about this thing about, because I watch a lot of movies, because I do reviews and stuff. All the linking parts in movies, generally speaking, subconsciously, without them thinking about it, men always do the action piece, like they open the door, or they do, they're the ones driving the car, or these are the incidental things, right? Yeah.
Bad guy always been on the waterfront.
Yeah, that's right. But actually, they don't need to be like that. It doesn't need to be like that. And when someone actually doesn't do it, you go, oh, that gave me a fright. I didn't expect that. And it was a really little thing, like you stand up and say, would you like a seat? And it doesn't matter who it is. If we got to the stage where people didn't think that gender defined a person, it's like, for example, I'm not a person who wears makeup. My daughter growing up really explored makeup. Now, I'm not going to tell her not to explore makeup, because in my family growing up, my mum saw that as an indicator of prissy, that women were subjugated by that type of stuff, right? But actually, that's not... it's an expression. It's an expression of self. If you're a little girly person, you're allowed to be a little girly person.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away your rights.
That's right.
That's women, one person's view on the matter.
Yes, no, we appreciate that. As someone who thinks a lot about social structure and all that, so we do appreciate your view. Obviously, you know, in the Maritime Union, we do have women. There's not a lot. It is a small percentage, but they are, generally speaking, the more active members. If you think about, like, we've got a meeting coming up in an hour's time. It's the Victorian Seafarers Committee meeting, where we'll discuss issues relating to seafarers and the Australian shipping industry and the campaigns that we continue to run to try and keep Australian seafarers' jobs and keep our members' jobs. And, you know, on that committee, it'll be about 12 people. There'll be at least four or five women there, which is an amazing percentage, considering the number of women in our industry. So, for some reason, women who work in male-dominated industry seem to be activists and, you know, great people. So I don't know whether there's a correlation there or not. But, yeah.
No, it's funny because I did some interviews around electricians, female electricians. It was the launch. And it was interesting because they were saying things like, one of them had been working in the industry for 20 years. When she first started, she was to be the only woman there. And, that's the other thing. Why are women always called girls when they're actually women?
Yes, well, it's an interesting term.
That's a real bugbear. But anyway, bye-bye. So their lives were all changing. They enjoyed their work and they'd chosen to do it. But as time's gone on, attitudes haven't always changed. So one woman was saying that when she was working as a maintenance officer and there was a problem with the electricity, the female manager said, should we go and ring an electrician to fix this? And the woman had to point out that she actually was an electrician. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
We've had a bit of a safety issue down on the waterfront over the last couple of days. Aaron has been involved with it, with the straddles again down at one of our workplaces.
Yeah, that's right. So we did have a very concerning incident on Tuesday of this week where we had a straddle catch on fire again. So at one of our major stevedores, the straddle caught on fire. It was being operated by a trainee and a trainer, so there was two union members in the straddle at the time that it did catch on fire. This is a straddle that was on fire only in November last year as well, so it only just been returned to service and again caught on fire. So the HSRs, they should be congratulated down there. They've done an amazing work assisting with the investigation, which ultimately led to WorkSafe grounding the entire subset of straddles, so that model of straddles, until they were all fully inspected by our maintenance staff. And the issue was incorrect fitting hoses, we believe, that rubbed on the starter motor. So they're going through all of the straddles. They were doing it over a couple of days to ensure that they can be returned to service safely before our members operate them again. So I guess congratulations to the HSRs and all of the workforce down there. It was a pretty stressful incident, particularly for the trainee, but they managed to exit the straddle safely, suppress the fire until the fire brigade got there, and nobody was injured, thankfully, but it is a concerning incident, particularly considering it happened only a number of months ago, and we've seen at least half a dozen over the last few years. So it's something that we're going to be pretty vigilant about, and our mechanics and engineers down there are going through the fleet very thoroughly to ensure they are safe to keep moving. But yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Dave, because there should be a big congratulations sent out to the HSRs. They've done amazing work.
It's a very dangerous workplace on the waterfront, and our members really need to look out for each other. We've had a few incidents recently, and we're a bit concerned about things. So look out for each other, comrades. Make sure take care of each other and stay safe. Thanks for listening again.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And this show had some fairly heavy topics discussed and content. So as always, if it does impact anybody, feel free to call 1-800-RESPECT or alternatively reach out to Hunterlink. So if you Google Hunterlink, they've also got a 1-800 number that you can call anytime, and it's available to every MUA member. Thanks, comrades. Have a great time.
Thanks, members.
Today I saw the strangest thing on the evening news. A man who wasn't sad at all by what's going on. And even though I'm trying to smile, with everything I've seen, it could take a
listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.